And when I get to heaven, I really am going to be able to sing. But it may be then before I get to. I just have been blessed as I hear what a wonderful job all of you do. Thank you to the choir and instrumentalists and all who just blessed us, our sound man. Thank you, Wayne, for making us sound better. You did good. Well, this morning, I want to tell you that in addition to getting some really nice socks, I will share with you a message that may seem a little bit unusual. Unusual because the subject matter is one that I'm not even sure I can remember one, but maybe years ago I may have heard a sermon on this theme, the theme of unity. You may say, Brother Jackie, why would you preach on unity? Is anything going on? Absolutely not. I mean, good things are going on. And I'm not going to preach this morning on unity in the Bible because there's a problem of strife or conflict or difficulty. Far from that. This church has one of the sweetest fellowships of anybody, anywhere you'll ever want to be. And I really mean that with all of my heart. Give the Lord a hand. Thank you, Tim. By the way, this theme called unity is so predominant in the Word of God that I want us to take a moment and deal with it biblically and to ask ourselves the question, what can we do to enhance and strengthen and bless the unifying spirit that lives within our church family? Now, there are several passages. I got tickled as I was visiting during Sunday school. One of our sweet, sweet members said to me, we're going to let the Methodists get out of the restaurant first today because this outline is sure a long outline. Well, it is. In fact, I got kind of tired looking at it myself. Not really. I appreciate Stacy, the wonderful job she does. And by the way, our church secretary does a wonderful job in producing this bulletin week after week. She's back there on the back row. And girl, thank you for the great job that you do. For all these years in pastoral ministry, many of those years, I've been blessed with having a wonderful secretary who loved Jesus and loved the Word. And Stacy, thank you. You are among the very best. What a blessing you are. I do remember what my friend Adrian Rogers said many years ago. And he may have been the only one I've ever heard preach a message on unity. I don't remember the message, but I do remember an illustration that he used. And Adrian Rogers, as only Adrian Rogers could do, that wonderful baritone voice, he gets up and he says that I want you to understand what unity is and what unity is not. And he said there's some things that we need to know, that unity is not unison. In other words, choir, you may sing in harmony and in unison, blending your voices together, but that doesn't necessarily mean everything is united or unified as it ought to be. And thank the Lord, you are that in so many ways to me as your pastor. But there's a difference, and unity is not uniformity, all of us looking alike. You ever thought about what it'd be like if all of us looked alike? Will it be an improvement for some? me primarily, it'd be an improvement for me. But we all are unique individuals. But unity is not uniformity. And Adrian Rogers said that unity is not union. You can take two tomcats, he said, and tie their tails together and throw them over a clothesline, and you've got union, but you don't have unity. And so this morning, I want us to look at some of the wonderful passages in God's Word dealing with unity. And rather than having you flip through all the pages of your Bible trying to find them, just look on your outline, and there are some passages that we're going to look at together. And you can follow along with me on your outline if that's all right. You're welcome, of course, to thumb through the various passages in your Word if you so choose. But it might be a little easier just to follow along with me as I share from your outline this morning. We're going to begin in Acts chapter 2. We're going to read from Ephesians 4 and John 7, Psalm 133, and Proverbs 6 and Romans 16 and 1 Corinthians 1. And you can see why. I encourage you just to listen attentively and follow along with me in your worship guide this morning. Acts chapter 2, that wonderful and glorious chapter that recounts for us the day of Pentecost, when 3,000 precious souls were saved and the Holy Spirit descended from heaven as a dove upon God's people, or upon the Lord Jesus at his baptism, but upon God's people at the baptism of the church there in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And that same day, there were added to the church about 3,000 souls. Now, if you're not careful, you may miss that little introduction. And they were all with one accord in one place. The Greek word there is homothumadon. It is a word which really means their hearts were melted and blended together, and they were of one mind and one accord. Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus that was struggling in so many areas, but he said, "I beseech you, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord," Paul referring to himself, "that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." Now, please remember, as I share this word with you, I share it with the hope and the prayer that God will help us not only to understand the nature of biblical unity, but we'll strive to do that, and it'll always be a characteristic of our church fellowship because of commitments we continually make to be a source of unity in the life of our church. And that's what a sweet spirit there is in this place. Psalm 133:1, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity." I cannot tell you how many times I've had some guest I've visited with in their home, talked with them by phone, or visited with them here, whose testimony has been, "Pastor, it's obvious there's a sweet spirit in the life of your church. It's obvious that the Lord's doing a sweet work in the life of your church because the sweet spirit of harmony is obvious among your people." Thank God that it is. In John 17, we have the prayer of Jesus. Listen to the prayer of our Lord. "I pray that they all may be one," speaking of the church, "as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me." It is the longest prayer recorded in the New Testament by Jesus.
Proverbs 6:16-19. Did I lose my microphone? Battery gone? Pardon? Better, guys. Well, you can use one
of these. Take it off and quit. We'll fix it.
All right. Excuse us.
We'll fix it right where it is.
Oh, good. I was going to have to get undressed.
Just lead it in a song, will you?
Yeah. Or don't.
I've been doing this 50 years.
Please don't.
But I ain't never done it like this before. Yeah, God's just all over you today, buddy.
Man, I'm telling you. I'm a buddy.
Lois can't hardly stand it over here.
Hello. Hey. You won't forget this service, will you?
I even stay dressed.
Well, thank you. Where was I? Oh, yes. Proverbs chapter 6. I think the Lord must get tickled in heaven, don't you?
Amen.
He might have summoned the angel and said, "Y'all come here and watch this. You ain't going to believe what happens over here."
See what they do.
Proverbs 6, verses 16-19. We're not going to get Debbie back. "These six things doth the Lord hate. Seven are an abomination to him, and he that soweth, and one of them is he that soweth discord among the brethren." Note that. Many things the Lord hates, but though included on that list are those that sow discord among the brethren. One of our prayers ought to be, "Lord, make me a blessing to our church family. Make me a contributor to the harmony and the unity that already exists, and may it continue for generations to come because of commitments that we make today to be people of harmony and unity." Romans 16:17. "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrines you have received and avoid them. Apparently, in the church at Rome, there were some that had not given themselves to a commitment to a unifying spirit. And they were a source of division and compromise and controversy. 1 Corinthians 1, verses 10 and 11, 10 and following, 10 through 11, the New International Version says, now listen carefully. I appeal to you, brethren and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. My brothers and sisters, some from Chloe's house have informed me that there are quarrels among you. This must have been serious for Paul to include this in his letter. What I mean is this. One of you says, I follow Paul. Another says, I follow Apollos. Another says, I follow Cephas or Simon Peter. And still another, I follow Christ. And then 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 3, to a church that was noted for being carnal. For are you not yet carnal? For where there is envy and strife and divisions among you, are you not carnal in behaving like mere men? Understanding what the scripture has said about unity, there's some things I'd like for us just to notice together this morning concerning building unity in the body of Christ. And one of those things is that what I simply call the appeal for unity. I beseech you therefore, brethren, that you be worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called in Ephesians 4. Now listen to what it says. With all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring or striving to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, I've got in your outline this morning one of the things that we need to do to have to apply this appeal for unity is understand the right kind of attitude the Lord looks for in our lives that contributes to harmony. You may have not thought about this recently, but one of those things is lowliness or humility. Humility is an accurate understanding of your own, of our own moral smallness. There's something about humility that just creates a fertile soil for the spirit of humility to exist and contribute to a spirit of unity. There will not be a spirit of unity anywhere very long where there's not a spirit of humility that precedes it. By the way, we are nothing in and of ourselves, and all we are is because of the grace of God. We don't have a reason to be proud or haughty. We ought to be simply people who say, Lord, thank you that by your grace we're sinners saved by grace, washed in the blood, set free. It's amazing, God, how you would use any of us, but you use all of us as we allow you to, as we're filled with and walked by your Holy Spirit. Understand, we've got to have the right attitude of lowliness and humility. Then there's the attitude of meekness or gentleness, which is power under control. I first remember my pastor years ago talking about meekness and about power under control, and use the example of horses. Now, I know this may surprise some of you, but if there were a couple of hobbies that I would have had growing up, and even as I grew older, I loved to hunt, loved to deer hunt, and loved to hunt, but I love motorcycles. I want you to get that in your mind, will you? Picture me on a motorcycle. That's not a pretty picture, but I want you to get it in your mind. And I had to quit because, it just wasn't a pretty sight. but I not only did that, horses and hunting, but I liked my motorcycles. But the thing that I really want to talk to you about is the horse part. I had a pastor one time who said horses are a wonderful example of this thing called meekness, gentleness, power under control. You know how strong they are. And as I ride a horse, as I used to ride, I don't do it anymore. The ASPCA filed a formal complaint. And it's as cruel to the animals. But this thing called meekness is the power under control. And a horse can pull a wagon, pull a load, or it can be gentle and walk with a child on its back. And so a spirit of unity comes from lowliness or meekness, gentleness under control, long-suffering. We'll talk about the attitude that cultivates or in which being a one mind and one heart unity thrives and flourishes. Long-suffering means patience or patient endurance, literally to be long-tempered. Now, I know some folks who brag on having a short fuse. You ever know anybody got a short fuse? Well, you don't have to look at it right now, but I mean, there's almost always somebody in somebody's family or circle of friends. And sometimes people wear that as a badge of honor. I've never understood that, Wayne, because it's really not something to be proud of, because our temperament ought to be under the control of the Holy Spirit. And by the way, most church conflicts are fed by somebody who's got a short fuse and somebody who loses a temper and thinks more of an issue that they're concerned about than the good of the entire body of Christ. And so long-suffering. Then he talks about forbearing in love, which means to endure or to put up with. By the way, as long as there is church, there is going to be the potential for and the context for a conflict. And so we've got to make up our mind. We're going to contribute to the harmony and the spirit of fellowship and unity in the life of our church, and go let it begin in me. We're not going to be self-serving. We're not going to demand our own way. We're going to give ourselves for the unity of the Spirit in the bond of love. He says, endeavoring, striving toward that end, forbearing one another in love, to put up or to endure. You ever endured some things because of love? Are you married? Sweet Lily puts up with a whole lot because of her love for her honey. Amen. Thank you, Lily. Can't get an amen out of that woman. But that's the spirit of the church that flourishes and provides a spirit of unity, long-suffering, meekness, lowliness, and forbearing in love. And we need to embrace the urgency of the priority and understand the biblical basis. In fact, he uses the example, there's one body, one spirit, one Lord, one hope of our calling, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father. The truth is, the Bible is full of examples of the need for unity in the body of Christ. But I want to take just a moment and talk to you about the enemies of unity, and we'll just touch on these for just a brief moment, but they are important, and I think they are significant. What causes disunity in the body of Christ? Well, James says that the wars and fightings are a source of being carnal in our hearts, including me mentality. He said you lust, you desire, you kill, you fight, you consume, you're having an affair with the world. It's all about you. Now be careful. Are you listening? Be careful not to ever let the kingdom's work become all about you. It's not just about me, it's about us, and mostly about Him and what brings honor and glory to Christ. In fact, how many times in churches have you seen conflict, or in a place where you work, or maybe even in your family, where somebody's me complex overrides what's good for the body, overrides what's good for the family, overrides what's good for the kingdom? A me of self-centeredness, an enemy of unity. Our speech, we've got to be careful about our speech. The tongue is a fire, says James, that set on the course of the fire of hell, and it is destructive in every way. Gossip and negativism have no place in the body of Christ. In fact, if you want to undermine the spirit of unity, just give yourself to, by the way, gossip is not telling a lie necessarily. Okay? Y'all with me? Stay with me? It's telling something that may be true that you just don't have any business telling. It's just not healthy. It's not harmonious. It's not contributing to the unity of the body of Christ. We're talking about contributing to the unity of the body. Our openness to receiving an evil report. If you've ever read Nehemiah chapter 6, Nehemiah was called to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And while he was doing a good work, there were some people who didn't want the walls of Jerusalem rebuilt. And they came and they started casting doubt on Nehemiah's motives. and thought he's just doing this to enhance his own image and to earn political points, if you will, folks. And Nehemiah said, I'm not going to listen to a negative report. And come on down the wall, you're just doing that for yourselves. Be careful about your speech and your communication to others, that it's upbuilding, it's encouraging, it's affirming, it's ministering to others. It is ordained of the Lord, and it's not a source of gossip or negativism. We're talking about enemies of unity, an openness to receiving an evil report. And then spiritual immaturity or carnality. He said, there are divisions among you. Are you not carnal and walk as men? The mark of an immature spirit. Then there's disappointment, resentment, wounds, and hurt feelings. By the way, I'll take just a moment here, park here, just a brief moment. Nobody enjoys having their feelings hurt. But everybody here is having your feelings hurt somehow. And listen, if you want to get your feelings hurt, you know the best place to get them hurt. Sometimes it's church, because somebody not intending to, not meaning to. So don't wear your feelings on your sleeves. Don't go saying, nobody better cross me today. Live in a way that you are a unifying influence to others. And when disappointment comes, and I don't ever want to disappoint anybody, but I realize that sometimes I may do that inadvertently and not understand it. Maybe that's your case. So give yourself to examining your heart as often as you can. Resentment, wounds, and hurt feelings all contribute to a lack of unity in the body of Christ. And then let me share with this finally, under the enemies of unity, taking up an offense. Proverbs 15:3 talks about the backslider will not abide the tabernacle because of his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. Now listen carefully. We're almost done. What is taking up a reproach against your neighbor? It is you taking up something that you believe happened or somebody did, a friend of yours. Now listen, be careful. You need to guard your heart. There's one thing about standing up for friends and loved ones. It's another thing to cause people to take sides by deciding you're going to love somebody or you're not going to love somebody. Let the spirit of unity be predominant in all that you say and all that you do. You say, why, Brother Jackie? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let's put a bow on this and just say, Lord, share with us the blessings of unity. In Psalm 133:1-3, we've already read part of it. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. There's the blessing of God's peace and blessing upon his people, the blessing of God's anointing. It's like the precious oil upon the head, which is a picture of the anointing of the priest, coming down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, coming to the edge of his robes. There's the blessing of anointing that comes from unity in Christ. There's the blessing of God's happiness and God's healing, prosperity and praise that comes from a unifying spirit. There's the blessing of refreshment or revival. The dew of Mount Hermon shall fall and shall bless those on Mount Zion. It's a picture of in the holy place. There's revival. There's refreshment. There's a fresh wind upon God's people. Why? Because it's a spirit of unity. What am I to do with what the Lord's spoken to my heart about in these passages? Just these two thoughts. Honestly appraise our commitment and our contribution to unity. Ask yourself, ask myself, how committed am I to being a unifying influence of what I say and how I share with others and how I minister and how I conduct myself both publicly and privately. Number two, make a renewed dedication to being a unifying force in your church. May the spirit that is prevailing in this place continue on and on and on and on. When I was your interim pastor, I felt the responsibility, and I still do, to prepare you to call a pastor. Well, little did I know that Chris Goode was going to be God's mouthpiece one day. She was sitting right about here, And I told the search committee two or three times, you don't need me. I'm an old man. And you need somebody younger. You need somebody to be here, do a better job than I could. And, you know, you remember those days. And you were so sweet and so kind. And I was walking from over yonder over here. And Chris, in her own wonderful way, reached over the banister and said, "Pastor, won't you just pray about it?" And I thought, has it come to that? And I got to praying, and guess what happened? The Lord laid you on my heart. And I couldn't have been more honored than on that Sunday when you voted. I'd never been in a church where they had party favors. You know, little things where you blow it, you roll out and you blow your horn. I mean, I thought I was on Bourbon Street for a while. When the vote was taken and the vote was unanimous and the people were happy, and our row, the back row, was filled up with people from my former church who'd come to see what y'all were going to do. I thought they were going to take me home with them, but that's not why they came. And they left saying, "What a spirit in the life of your church." And Chris said, "Won't you just pray about it?" And I did. The Lord did the rest. And my prayer is, Lord, preserve the sweet spirit of unity at Calvary. Make me a source of a contributor to that spirit of unity. And may people who come in here see Jesus, sense Jesus, and are in tune with Jesus because of the spirit that's cultivated this place. Revival is a result of the atmosphere that we help produce by our oneness of heart. Lord, use me to honestly appraise my life and to make a renewed dedication to being a uniting force in our church. Would you allow me this last statement? May we be the answer to Jesus' prayer. This is it. I pray, Lord, they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee. And thou mayest be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. We've got a testimony because we've got a unity in Christ that only Jesus can produce. Would you bow with me, please, for a moment?